In our passage today, Peter makes an enormous mistake. On the one hand, when asked, Peter makes the great proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah, and then almost literally in the same breath, Peter then tells Jesus to save his life and to not talk about difficult and dangerous things. And the first time, Jesus rewards him and acclaims him and acclaims his knowledge. And then Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." And all of us go, "Ooh, that was rough." It's a rough moment. Peter makes this absolutely enormous mistake. And the thing about Peter's mistake is that Peter makes the mistake that a lot of us make in our lives as Christians. And unfortunately, just like Peter found, it's an easy mistake to make. If you recall, what it meant to the Jews, according to the Jewish tradition, that a Messiah would be brought to them, what it meant that Jesus was the Messiah, meant the following things. Jesus was going to be a military leader who would throw off the oppressive Roman Empire, would restore Israel to independence, and would take the throne in Jerusalem and rebuild Israel as an independent country. All right? That's what it meant that Jesus was the Messiah. And as we read earlier in the summer, at the feeding of the 5,000 in John, what happens immediately after the feeding of the 5,000? The people come and seek to make him king by force, because now it's all that they can focus on, that they really, really want Jesus to be the Messiah. They want him to be the king. They want him to be their king. So they're going to take him to Jerusalem. They're going to raise an army. They're going to make him king by force. That's what they think the prophecy means. That's what they think it means that Jesus is the Messiah. And earlier in the summer when we were talking about that passage, we then talked about how Jesus is a very different Messiah than what they thought he would be. And we see all the tension of those two things, Jesus as the Messiah, the way that they thought he would be the Messiah, versus Jesus as the Messiah, the way that actually Jesus is really the Messiah. All of that tension is right here in our passage today. And so that's why Peter gets it completely right on the one hand, Peter gets it completely wrong on the other hand. Here's the mistake that Peter makes. What happens when a king comes out of the wilderness, goes up to the capital city, overthrows the existing power, ruling power, and sets up a new court? Then everyone who was with him in the wilderness and who followed him all the way to the royal court, what's going to happen to them? Well, they are going to be benefited. They are going to end up in positions of high power. They are going to have possibly material benefits. They are going to become wealthy. Their families are going to be looked after. They are going to become privileged members of the court. They are going to be the people closest to power as power trickles down over this whole setting. And Peter thinks in this moment what it means that Jesus is the Messiah and he is, you know, like the closest disciple to Jesus. Peter is looking ahead to his career and his family's life and he's saying, man, things are looking pretty good for me. That's pretty good. And because then Jesus would have power and wealth to offer, because that's what kings had in those days. They offered power and wealth to their supporters. And because Jesus has proven his ability to heal people from their diseases, et cetera, and cast out demons, Peter is looking forward to a life in which he is wealthy, he is powerful, and he will not, and neither will his family, suffer diseases or sufferings of any kind. Everything that has made his life difficult will be removed. And he will be healthy. He will be wealthy. His family will be healthy. Everybody will be wealthy. He thinks that he has it made. And so when Jesus says, oh, and just for your information, I'm going to be suffered, and then I'm going to be tortured, and then I'm going to be killed, but don't worry about it, Peter completely and utterly freaks out, which is a natural thing to do. The mistake Peter makes, that a great number of us make in our lives of discipleship, Peter thinks that certain benefits will come to him as a result of his following of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, in the Christian world at the present time, there are a vast number of people, and this slips into our lives as well, where we think that we know what the benefits of following Jesus Christ will be, and we think that possibly our lives will be free of suffering. Some people preach that if we believe enough and we pray hard enough, then we will be healed from our illnesses. And that really, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, then Jesus cannot wait to make us wealthy. And my friends, to that, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, get behind me, Satan. That is not what following Jesus Christ does in our lives. That is not the benefit that Jesus offers to his disciples. In fact, Jesus tells his disciples remarkably clearly that they will suffer. In fact, their sufferings will be not less, they will be more. They will suffer. They will struggle. They will live with the hardships of life. They may live with more hardships because of the response of power to the message that Jesus was preaching. Jesus does not say, follow me and your lives will be fantastic and easy and you'll be at rest and peace and you'll have fancy cars and you'll never have to go to the Tom Baker Cancer Clinic. Instead, what Jesus says is, our road is going to be hard. And it's going to be hard in a lot of normal ways, and it's going to be hard in a lot of special ways. And so what does it mean that Jesus is the Messiah? What it means is that we are brought together with one another into one body, the body of Jesus Christ. We here and we in the Christian church, we are not bound together because we are one tribe. We're not bound together because we are one nation. We are not bound together because we speak one language or because we have X, Y, and Z in common. The gospel of Christ is for everyone. And as the Messiah, Jesus opened the doors of membership and belonging in the family of God to every single person because that is what God dreams of. And not only does God, through Jesus Christ, make us one body in his Son, but that is what it means that we are saved. We no longer walk the path alone. And we no longer suffer alone because we are together in the midst of the struggle. And we are together with one another in solidarity. And by sharing our sufferings together and our struggles and our trials together, then when we are in a stronger place in our lives, we can support those who are at a more vulnerable place in our lives. And when we are, then things change. Then we can support one another and we build a fabric in which the miracle and the mercies of God are unfolded. And God makes clear the vision that he has, whereby that there is enough food for everyone. There is peace, there is freedom, there is clean water, there is light, there is justice. That all of these things define who we are and how we are in the world. That is what we hypothetically live out as disciples of Christ. And it is a costly road, and it is a profoundly, powerfully beautiful road in which we have to together the resilience to live through whatever it is that life brings to us. And it is the power of Jesus Christ working in our midst and working between us that makes that happen. We make the same mistake that Peter does when we think that we know what the benefits are that will come to us by faithful discipleship of Jesus Christ. And we think, well, what's happening when I'm faithful and struggles come to me in my life? It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way because life is broken and it shouldn't be this way. That doesn't mean that God is not with us in the midst of those struggles and those heartaches. And God is with us the way that we are with one another, the way that we accompany one another and we are companions with one another, we support one another, we look for ways to help one another, we open our hearts to be helped by one another. That is what it means that we are the body of Christ, and that is what it means that Jesus is saving the world, and that is what it means that Jesus is the Messiah. And that is our call to be church, to be that way with one another, to support and accompany one another through times and trials. Here we are, we're in the fall season. We're finished with summer, out with the old, in with winter. It'll just be a few days now, folks. You don't have to wait very long. And when we start up in the fall, we start up our Sunday school, we start up all the wonderful things, we start up our music ministries, although I have to say, Larry has been organizing all of the music for, I think, almost every single Sunday for the entire summer, which has been a beautiful gift. And so we thank Larry for that amazing contribution of time and leadership he's put in. And now it's the fall, so you'll have other people helping with the music ministry now. One of the things that we start up is we will start up our laying on of hands and anointing with oil. Today is our first Sunday back with that ministry. So during the communion, while people are coming forward for communion, over in the side aisle, we'll have two of our volunteers from the congregation ready to listen to the concerns of your heart, to lift them up to God with you, and to give you a sense that you are not alone in whatever it is that you are burdened by. And after the service, you can also, or instead, come forward to the communion rail, and I will be offering oil of anointing, which again is another way that we support one another in prayer and encourage one another and help you to feel that you are not the only one praying for you. You are not the only one bearing the burdens. You're not the only one praying for that loved one who lives somewhere else and doesn't know if they can trust anybody with their burdens. We together can hold up those burdens, and together we have the strength to bear the burdens that are in our midst, to support one another and encourage one another. If you would like prayers added to the prayers of the people, there's a clipboard in the narthex, the entranceway. And you're welcome to write down your prayer requests on that so that they become part of our prayers. And if you have requests that need more detailed and extensive and possibly confidential prayer, then we also have a prayer chain of people who pray regularly and can pray in considerably more detail about some of the burdens that you may be bearing. Or if you wish for more confidentiality in a circumstance, then you can also talk with the prayer chain. And Sherry Standish is the person to talk to. Sherry, do you want to give a wave? And of course, you can come to me and we can talk about what those challenges are that you face and what the supports are to help you get through them. That is what it means that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that Jesus is the Messiah. And that is the way that together it changes the world. So, my friends, here's to a new season of life and ministry as a community, as a family of faith. And may God bless us as we go forward this fall. Amen.